Welcome to the Animation Happy Hour,
a podcast where we talk about the animation industry over a couple of drinks. All opinions and views expressed in this podcast are solely our own and not representative of the companies for whom we work.
My name is Katie.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Garrett.
And we are all... We are all currently feature film animators working in Los Angeles.
You know, Very good. That's funny. It reminded me, remember that blooper I animated? Wasn't it the same
thing? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It was you two again.
Yeah, we thought we would do it. Yeah, that's funny. But, yeah.
So today we're sipping on accessoritas.
Oh, must have accessoritas.
Yeah. Because our topic is...
It is kind of our, so what exactly are we going to call it? Like things we can't live without or accessories that we love. This is loosely inspired by GQ's 10 things whatever celebrity can't live without. And I've always thought our podcast is very much like GQ. So yeah, we're going to be generally talking about some kind of accessories we use at work. It'll be kind of a lighter, more fun episode, we think, after kind of our somewhat heavier last one about mental health. So yeah, we're just going to be giving tips and things like, you know, whatever it is, little things we love having at our setup and creature comforts that we enjoy while we're working.
Yeah, this topic makes me laugh because I think it's fairly universal that you'll like see an artist being interviewed or something and somebody always asks like, oh, what pencil do you use or what pen do you use or whatever. And there's sort of this idea of like, well, it's not really the pencil that makes the artist great. It's like, you know, what the artist does with the pencil. But you know what? Today, we're just going to lean into what pencil do you use. Because that stuff's fun to talk about. And it does help at the end of the day to feel like you're in the zone and whatever little accessory you need to get the job done has some value.
I would totally agree. I would say it doesn't not matter. It's definitely not the most important thing, but it's something, you know, so.
Yeah. And we're not sponsored by anything, so.
I don't know, it's an opportunity for us.
Yeah.
We could have gotten so many affiliate links.
Yeah, we really should have.
If anybody's listening from anything we plug, please do reach out.
That's right.
But it's all authentically recommended.
That's how you know it's true.
Yeah, that's right. We wanted to do this episode before we were sponsored by anyone, just to make sure that it's, you know, totally pure and unbiased.
We had some other drink names, too. That
oh.
We almost went.
Yeah?
Go on. We talked about the bells and whistles, which I'll just admit, I misremembered the name that Ben and I brainstormed on our own. And then we were pitching drink names to Garrett at lunch one day. And I was like, I think it's bells and wet your willies. And then they started laughing, and I didn't realize what I had said.
Going to get an explicit rating.
I know. Yeah. I was like, oh, no, bell and wet your whistle. Yeah. But because of the, you know, these are the, we're plugging the various bells and whistles that we like to have around. But
sure.
For the radio, sure, there's.
You should have went with the
wet your
whistles.
Dang it, yeah.
I think there, I'm not 1,000% sure. I think there was a drink company in Savannah called Wet Willies that it's like frozen margaritas and things, which is what we're drinking, by the way.
They're delicious, I will say. You guys did a great job.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Strawberry.
It is a very standard margarita that you Google, and it's one of the first three results. And then
you spice it up with some strawberry.
And then blend it with strawberries. That's what we did. Yeah, exactly.
It's great.
Yeah, so with the episode today, we wanted to do a few caveats, and we'll probably pepper these throughout the episode as well. But a lot of these things, we're going to be probably talking about things that vary in price, like an insane amount, from like little things that like anyone can afford or incorporate in their workflow or whatever, and then kind of more bougie stuff we enjoy. And we want to caveat all of this with, you know, like Katie said, I think it's good to fold into this that it's not all about the pencil you're using, figuratively speaking. So you can do beautiful, great work with very basic equipment.
Yes.
But we just kind of wanted to have one where we talk about the stuff we enjoy, but we acknowledge we're very privileged in that. And yeah, to that end, I guess we can get right into it. I'll give a brief summary and say, overall, we're going to kind of cover physical equipment for your setup, some like digital software-y stuff, and then some miscellaneous things. And then we'll finish it up with the fun topic, some duds, things we've
some
tried.
But,
yeah. Some things we maybe splurged on and then didn't like or whatever. So yeah, let's get into it. And I'm sure there will be some cross-pollination with exactly what's digital versus miscellaneous, but that's what we're going to chat about.
Very fun. Are we starting
Indeed.
With physical?
I think I had physical down first, but how do you guys feel? Is that okay?
Let's get physical.
Let's get nice. That's why I was all to set up Katie for that,
that
joke.
Like, did you guys plan that?
No, that's just the margarita or accessorita talking. Yeah,
Well, I guess I'll go.
I know we kind of looked at you. Sorry.
No, it's okay. All right. Well, the first thing I have down, and this is a little bit, I feel like it's semi-cop-out, but I'm just going to say it. My iPhone has become indispensable. And the reason why is I use it every day because I use it for video reference all the time. Mm-hmm. And this is, I mean, maybe this is kind of a dumb one. You guys can call me out on it. But no. I feel like your phone, because it's so convenient to take reference and stuff, it's really useful. I also use it for reminders. I have an app called it's called Do, and it gives you like a recurring set of reminders for myself. Also, my calendar's on there, all that stuff. So maybe that's kind of an obvious one, but I do think having like an iPhone has been indispensable for me.
Oh, that's cool. That's great. You know what? Actually, I'll piggyback off of it. And this is, I gave the warning about bougie stuff. This is bougie to the max, especially if you're only using it for this thing. But I have an Apple Watch, which again, I'm cringing just saying that because I know it's very expensive for if you're a student or something. But I do love using it with my iPhone specifically for video reference because it can connect to the camera on there. So I'll set up my phone on a tripod. And then it drives me crazy. Every now and then it would happen to me where I would shoot reference and I was like, oh man, that's it. That's the take. And then for the last like third of the shot, I'm off screen or like half on screen, half off.
Yeah.
So I love being able to like set up the tripod and then go. And then on the iPhone, you can connect to on the Apple Watch, you can connect to your phone and see a live feed of what like the camera is seeing. So you can make sure you're super centered and you're not going to go too far. You can kind of test out, okay, how many steps can I take in each way?
That's really
again, probably not worth getting an Apple Watch just for that, but it's a great
nice
little
perk.
Yeah.
I feel like smartphones in general are like pretty crucial to like function at a studio. Cause I feel like most studios use Slack as like a base form of communication, and you really do kind of want to be on the ball with that. I mean, you would have it on your base computer too, but say you're, I don't know, in a meeting or you're not at your desktop for whatever reason, you probably want access to those notifications. So yeah, pretty crucial.
Yeah.
I guess like I don't see often too many people like with one of those like flip phones anymore. I feel like most people now have smartphones, which is why I'm like, oh, maybe that's not, you know, the best one
cool.
to say.
I think it's helpful to talk about like how you use it for sure. Like stuff and then video reference. And yeah, I think that's great. Calendar reminders, especially as things get more hectic. I think we all know how easy it is to like, okay, I have a meeting in 15 minutes. I'm just going to animate for 10. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you look at your clock, you're like, oh shit, that was 20 minutes ago. Like now, you know, late for the meeting. So I'm so pro like the setting crazy amounts of reminders and stuff because you never know when you're going to get in the flow and miss everything.
Oh, that made me think of one feature actually that I use a lot with iPhone, like iOS. It's focus modes. I don't know if you guys have played with that, but you can like set, like obviously do not disturb is like one that everyone has, but I have a work focus mode and then like my own personal one, and you can set a schedule for your focus mode. So during Monday through Friday, like, you know, 9 to 6, I have my work focus mode on, which gives me Slack notifications. It also turns my email to Gmail, which is like my work email. And then on my personal, it's my just normal Apple mail. So basically when I'm not in my work focus mode, I don't get any slacks. I don't get any emails, which has made an actual huge difference because with like the pandemic and working from home, like the separation between like work and, you know, personal stuff has been not good. But I learned this actually. Isabel's brother was like telling me about focus modes was like a new thing. And I'm like now obsessed with it. So,
Yeah, I hadn't done that. Just sort of like manually done it, I guess, by setting like do not disturb on Slack times or whatever. But I want to do it for real.
It's really cool. I'm telling you.
That's awesome.
Pro tip.
Wow. That is a pro tip.
But I want to hear from you guys. What's some physical stuff you got?
Getting physical. I think we named that subcategory correctly.
Yeah.
Physical. Tell you what, I'll do a quick follow-up of just because I feel self-conscious about my bougie stuff with a cheapy thing. It's not the cheapest, but pretty affordable. Better than an Apple Watch. I have this random obsession with like this one type of mouse for my computer. And it is not like a super fancy one. It's like a pretty basic mouse, but I love it. It is the Logitech M510 wireless mouse. It costs about $25.
Whoa.
And something about it. I don't know. It's just like, it has these little, it's like a very basic wireless mouse, but it just, the size had these little grooves in the side that I like. I've gotten so used to it that I have one at home now and at work and an extra one floating around just in case like one amazing. Of the others go bad. I'm so obsessed and with
it's not like an ergonomic one, right?
No. It's not like any special, like you're vertical or anything. I'm obsessed with it. It's like the most basic looking mouse if you look it up online, but I love it.
That's funny. Yeah, I have an ergonomic mouse, which I'll piggyback off of. I didn't look up the model number. Maybe I should have. I think it's like Anker, A-N-K-E-R, and it's like a vertical mouse. And it's supposed to keep like your wrists more aligned. And I'm like super used to that now. And I like can't go back to a normal mouse. So one way we differ, and when Ben comes to help me, he's like, "Oh, what is this?"
That's really funny. Both your different answers. Actually, this is related in terms of how you interact with your computer, but and this is very bougie.
I think I know what's coming.
Yeah, this is like, gosh, iPhone, and the next thing is a Cintiq.
Yeah,
but that's kind of my thing that I definitely can't live without. But I love animating on the Cintiq. I use the pen, and I find it just, I don't know, animating, with the pen feels really intuitive to me. I feel like I have more control, and I just like the way it feels, but I also like the way I can transition into doing drawing pretty quickly. Yeah. It's not like, okay, I'm animating with my mouse and I'm like, should I get out my like tablet and pen and then like do drawers, and I'll probably be lazy and not do that. But if I'm already with the pen, I'm kind of like, okay, like I can just like open up Rough Animator or whatever software. And
that makes a lot of sense.
So it just makes drawers a little less of a barrier to
for do. Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we should say too, like, we're really lucky. Like, we're all currently at Disney and like this equipment's provided, which is awesome. Oh, we can get Cintiqs and special like ergonomic arms so that we can like move the screen around and make it closer to us and adjust the angle. And
I would say with the Cintiq, I mean, sure, that one's kind of bougie, but there's definitely a less bougie version where I see a lot of animators at work who will have like a very small Wacom tablet or Bamboo or some sort of tablet where they still like the ergonomics of the pen and it feels very intuitive, but it's not like the full-fledged screen Cintiq if that's not quite in your budget right now. Let me ask with that, do you ever have trouble with really fine-tune amounts or something? I feel like I haven't really used it, but I've heard from some people that it's difficult if you're like grabbing a rotation axis and then you let go, it might pop another couple degrees or something.
Oh, interesting.
Do you not really notice that?
I haven't really noticed that. You could probably see it in my animation. Just like random like rotation. I haven't too much.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm trying to think though, like, if that's ever been an issue. I will say whenever I go back to mouse, I like have like so little patience. I don't know, about it just feels like more like, in fact, I feel almost like the opposite where when I have the pen, because I use free rotate a lot. I don't necessarily animate on an axis one at a time. So because of that, I feel like the pen is just more natural to me. But
that makes
sense. Yeah, no, I haven't noticed that. But maybe that is a cool thing.
Or maybe it's just like a sensitivity thing. I don't know.
I'm curious. I like to see people's like different screen setups. And I like just changed mine, I'm still like kind of feeling that and seeing if I like it, where I have my Cintiq like below a monitor. And the Cintiq is like closer to me. And I used to have the Cintiq on the side of the monitor, but I feel like I just wasn't using it because it was on the side. So how do you have your setup, Garrett?
It's the way. The Cintiq below and then the monitor on top. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. The only issue I have sometimes is like I put the Cintiq really low, or I try to, so I can like use the pen. And sometimes it covers the keyboard. Like I don't have a great...
I have been running into that a little bit where I feel like I don't have space or like keyboard or wrist rest or something. But
I love having like the monitor on top be the kind of like, this is what your animation looks like, you know, out of the camera view.
Yeah, it does feel more natural to have the Cintiq at the bottom because it's almost more like a notebook where you're like drawing on a drawing table or something. But
totally. Yeah, that makes sense. But
I'm still a basic B. I'm side by side.
Oh my gosh.
Basic Ben.
But
maybe I'll have to try the other way. But yeah, I've been a side by side boy my whole career. I'll have to try. I've never tried the stacked method, but I will say I feel like a lot of animators I admire, not just the two I'm sitting between right now, use the stacked method. So maybe there's something to that.
Do you ever get your neck? Because I remember when I was doing side-by-side, I would keep looking at the screen on the left and my neck would mess up. But
you know what? Good question. Yeah. I feel like that is definitely a danger, but what helps me mitigate that is another thing on the list here.
Ooh, perfect segue.
A sit-stand desk. I do a decent amount of standing through the day.
Ben's really good at it.
Thank you. So I try in those instances to angle my whole body as opposed to just looking left and right.
Yeah.
And I try to do it consciously. I'm sure I still turn my head a lot, but so I haven't noticed a ton of, I will say in like the heat of like the pandemic, like right in the middle of 2020, I did start to feel a little neck strain here and there.
Okay.
But since then it hasn't been an issue. And I think it's because I've been trying to be a little more cognizant of not actually turning and looking at the monitors, but with the shoulders, but yeah, I don't know. Do you guys' necks never hurt from like looking down and up?
Not me.
It's so new for me. I just set it up like a couple weeks ago, so I'll have to report back. But
hey, listeners, let us know.
I did find strain from looking left to right because this is another bougie thing that I can't live without is my 38-inch screen curved monitor.
Is that one of those like really wide?
Yeah, it's really big, and I would never pay for it on my own dime, but it's really nice that I get it at work, and it's beautiful, and I can have like a million windows open.
Wait, so you have your Cintiq on the bottom and then the big wide
up? Oh, I should
get that. You should get that.
Amazing.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Standing desk, though, game changer.
Yeah. You stand a lot, right? I feel like
I used to.
Man, you guys are so good.
Well, Katie runs marathons, so when she's not running, she should be sitting.
I have a sit-stand desk, but I feel like I stand probably 3 days out of the entire year for like 20 minutes and then I'm like, I need to sit down.
Standing is my marathon, so that's sorry, go ahead, Garrett.
No, I was gonna say I'm similar where like I definitely don't stand enough, but I find on days where I don't like go to the gym or something and I feel kind of like schlubby, those are the days I'm like, okay, I'm gonna stand today, and it's like my workout for the day is like standing.
Do you guys have anything? These are things I wrote down. I don't use them, but I'm just curious if you guys use them. Like a foot stand or like a standing gel mat or anything like that that helps with standing and working.
You know what? I have a gel mat, but I've moved it out of the way because it was annoying to move the chair back and forth whenever I wanted to switch.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
But I do notice if I'm doing like a lot of standing. That is something I had down, actually. I do recommend, if your workplace allows it, do not try to be fashionable. Get some really nice, like, cushy running shoes or walking shoes, especially if you're standing for a decent amount of the day, which I think doctors say you should just do a mix. It's not necessarily best to stand the whole day or sit the whole day. You just kind of vary it up every half hour to hour, give or take. But yeah, I notice a huge difference in how I feel at the end of the day. Makes me feel like an old man saying this, but it's true. I feel so much achier if I have like nice, like fashion shoes on versus Asics or whatever, or cushy running stuff.
That's really good. Yeah. This might be like, this is sort of kind of related to like your workspace and stuff, but I don't know if it's necessarily like miscellaneous, but I'll just say, and you guys can tell me, but Velcro strips.
Oh,
and here's why. Yeah. I'm going to just pitch Velcro strips. Velcro strips are amazing because if you're like me and you're kind of insane about cable management, with your home setup, it is the best way to like have good cable management because they're reusable. You can tie up the cables in like a nice organized way. I have this standing desk at home where I can like, underneath there's like little crevices that I can just like attach, kind of run the cables to and use Velcro strips for. And I feel like at home, because there's like a work laptop and then there's my own personal thing, the cables are insane.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like a little insane about the cable management. So I recommend it just to keep your workflow organized. I don't know if you guys.
That's great. I had not thought to say that, but
that
that's
good. We feel like we have the poor man's version where we use like the ties that go on like chip bags or like like those twisty ties on.
Oh, like
a bread bag or like a rubber band around the asparagus.
Maybe
we should level up.
Actually, speaking of like DIY versions of things, I meant to say this before with the sit-stand desk, but I'll say another tip with that is that, you know, there's like all these great companies like Uplift Desk that have really cool desks where you can have them, you know, custom made for you, and you can go to any number of like Office Depot sort of places and get sit stand desks. Admittedly, they're usually pretty pricey, right? Something you can do, it doesn't make it dirt cheap, but it definitely takes a big chunk out of the price, is you can just buy the sit stand mechanism on its own, like the legs with the motor, and then drill it into a top of your choosing. You can go to IKEA and get like a decent wood desktop for not an insane amount of money. And it might take your standing desk from like, who knows, like $1,500 to like $400 or $500 or something like that. So again, still not dirt cheap, but more affordable for sure. If you're okay with a little bit of DIY.
That's a really good tip because Uplift and those types of desks are insane.
Yeah, for sure.
Very expensive.
You guys have anything else for physical? Are we done getting physical?
I have a few. Oh,
Katie's not done.
A few cheap ones. I mentioned wrist rests earlier. I really like, Ben doesn't like them, but I really like them. I have these like, it's like a beanbag material where there's one that's long and goes along my keyboard and there's one that's smaller and goes next to my mouse. And I really like it. I do find it more supportive for my wrists while I'm typing or animating with the mouse. And I also just like it for like a little stress relief or thinking, where I like pick it up and like kind of play with it and squeeze it while I'm thinking. And I mean, it's a weird use of it, but I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then those are really inexpensive. You can definitely find them for cheap. And it's just a tiny, tiny little thing, but yeah.
That's great.
I like that.
You guys have anything else?
Just a random one I thought off the top of my head is I have kind of a slightly larger mouse pad than normal, and I'm obsessed with it. I love just having a little extra real estate, but I hate not having a mouse pad.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. And it's pretty darn expensive. It was just a random generic one on Amazon for, I don't know, like, did I say expensive?
Yeah.
It's pretty darn inexpensive. Yeah. Yeah, a few bucks, but yeah.
Here's one I have is string lights. I'm very into like lighting and just, yeah, I feel like string lights make everything cozy. Maybe that's just like holdover from college years, because I feel like it's a very college-y thing. String lights everywhere, but I have like at my office at work, I have string lights and I have them in my room here. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I love it.
There's definitely like something to like making your space feel homey and cozy and welcoming. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite like middle class fancy posts where it's like if neighbor puts up string lights in their backyards and then all of a sudden you're like, wow, the Andersons must be doing pretty well for themselves. Cause like, it just this looks like so nice and it's fun and classy. Color. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, on a similar vein, I put like inspiring art and stuff like that, or just photos of family and my cats and my friends, and just like, yeah, anything you can do to kind of make your space feel more welcoming and enjoyable to be in. Like, it doesn't have to be a sterile office cube, if your workplace allows it, but yeah, just whatever you can do to make yourself more willing to be in the same place from 9 to 6 plus. So, yeah.
Especially if you don't get a lot of like light from the window, like in the center of like totally. An office space, it's helpful. There's also those I have like, I think they're called like therapy lights or happiness lights. It's like a
sunlight, you know, or like a.
You can get them from Amazon. It's just kind of like on a stand, and it's this light that just like fills a soft kind of glowy light into your space.
Oh, cool.
Totally.
I use one of those too.
But. Definitely. I have another bougie one.
Oh, let's hear.
It's a noise-canceling headphones. They're pretty vital for me at work, especially if you have roommates, which is silly because I have like the best roommate ever, Chris Semenoff, shout out. He's very low impact and friendly, and like I don't really need to cancel his noise out. But but you know, there's general noise in the department sometimes or people chatting or whatever, and it is when you really need to focus, I do find it extremely helpful. Especially when I was a trainee and apprentice, I shared a cube with like 4 other people. And there are moments where, you know, the supervisors will come by and give feedback to somebody, and it's very easy to get distracted. So for me, yeah, it's a pretty crucial thing that I invest in.
That's
100%
great.
Agree. Yeah.
Listener, put a pin in this. That's all I'll say for now.
It's because we're doing. All right.
No. I'm not going to say.
I'm not going to spoil it.
Listeners, I have no idea what's going on, but I'm going to roll with it.
Good.
Yeah. Honest, like, related vein. This is not me, but I'm just like trying to think about this topic.
It's okay if it's really you.
No, it's not. I'm trying to think about like what other people use in the department. And I think there are a few animators that are like very dedicated to their headsets. With like a microphone and headphones, and when you see them pop on Zoom, you're like, "Oh wow!" Like,
look at sound it. Like a podcast.
Yeah, podcast. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, like you were mentioning lighting, and lighting can be very good too for like Zooming, if you have a remote or hybrid workflow. And I'm laughing now, or I'm starting to crack up because I'm thinking about like Zoom backgrounds and how you like cater your Zoom background. There are a lot of, well, now I'm going to offend somebody. There's a lot of guitars in the backgrounds of our animation department, which is cool, but also kind of funny that it's like so universal. But
that's amazing.
That's all I got.
Well, should we... Any more physical? Or are we ready to delve into the digital
realm.
Domain? Realm. Digital realm.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Transition.
Let's digitize.
Go for it,
and digitize. Yeah.
Digimon.
Digimon. Shut up.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about this before, and I apologize if I've said this exact thing in like a tip jar or something, but... I'll say one of the things I love software-wise, it's kind of an obvious one, but I'll speak more specifically about it, is A-Tools or AnimTools for Maya. And I'll say it's like an incredible suite of tools. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it before, but I will specifically call out the temp controls.
Yeah.
I absolutely love. It's these controls where you can basically constrain anything to anything. So, for example, if you have a weird, you know, rigs are usually set up with like, oh, you can have the arm in body space or like absolute world space or shoulder space if it's IK. Well, let's say you like really wanted to see the arm in relation to the head. With temp controls, you could select the arm and then the head, or maybe vice versa. I forget the order, and say like put into parent space. And then you'll see not only when you move the head will the arm move too, but the graph editor for the arm will make sense in relation to the head. Mm-hmm. Totally. So it's really awesome. I love it too for certain weird situations where I feel like we've all been there where it's like, it looks like the head is going down and the chest is going up here. And then you look at your graph editor and it's not. Yeah. It is absolutely not doing that. But just because of some weird play with like the posing and the camera move or whatever.
An inherited motion.
Exactly. It looks like that. So you're like, ah, oh, you can either like chase it out, or with this method, you can really quickly be like, okay, I'll put head in chest mode. And now I can see it actually is going down in TY.
Yeah.
So I can just delete it or have it go up a little bit or stay consistent and then bake it back. And it's just really nice, quick ways to make edits like that. And for my money, it's top two or three, maybe top one, like most valuable thing you can have in Maya is being able to see anything in anything. Any other objects place.
Yeah.
That's just like one tool within it.
Yeah.
Ben taught me about like putting something in camera space for like final polish where you're like really looking at things pixel by pixel and trying to track like the Z movement, like the depth from the camera.
Yeah.
And it's such a great way to like really get polished nitty gritty.
Yeah.
And I love it too. Yeah. For props where it's like, okay, someone's going to grab a prop. And then you can really ease into it, like having the hand grab something and you can see that graph way more cleanly, like how the prop relates to the hand and vice versa. And it's amazing. It's so powerful.
Yeah.
I feel like when you understand temp controls too, it completely replaces like parent constraints. So
yes.
I remember when I was in school, like, how do you attach this like cup to this character's hand? And you'd like select them both, do a parent constraint, and then you'd have to like key the constraint's weight on or off. But if you're doing that, like, you really should look into like temp controls or EB World Space or whatever type of script that does this. Because
EB World Space. I forgot that's
It's like
I forgot that's,
I don't know if that's
like
free or maybe you still pay for that.
Yeah,
same exact thing, but like. Yeah, there's just a better way to deal with constraints in Maya. You should not be manually making a parent constraint for animation.
I think it's good to like know what's going on under the hood. Yeah. So like go ahead and experiment with it. But when it's time to like actually animate a shot or do whatever, use one of the tools. They're so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, you said A-Tools, which is like a pared down version of AnimBot, which is like a... It's a more expensive subscription-based tool suite, but so worth it. There's so many amazing things in there.
The sliders, too. I was going to shout out those, like for smoothing keys in the graph editor or tweening or easing. Mm-hmm. Those are great. Or arc tracking. They have they're just like temp controls are just like one little thing. But yeah, that like you guys said, it's just so worth the money to spend. Yeah. I'm surprised that like Autodesk hasn't absorbed it in their software because it makes it so phenomenal. Maybe that's a thing that might happen. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like I've said this before too, but I remember that briefly when I freelanced in New York, there were some animators that would go from place to place with a little thumb drive, and their thumb drive had their version of like A-Tools or AnimTools on it. And it's like, it makes total sense, but it's like going to a construction site with your own tool belt, you know?
Yeah,
it just makes your job so much easier if you know you have these like base things.
You can customize like which tools are where and yeah. hide certain ones yeah. you don't use or whatever. But,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, A-Tools is free, right? And Anambot's the paid version.
I think that's true. I'm not sure.
I think that's right, but I don't know if A-Tools is still in effect. I remember that was like a thing you could get. I know it's, I think the focus that the creator made was Anambot now, which is like licensed. You have to pay for it, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe A-Tools is still available.
Gotcha. Free. Yeah. Not sure. Yeah. Sounds great.
It's a really good one. You guys have any other digital
things? Is that it for digital?
Oh, no.
I have something. Okay, yeah. Good.
They're not as like robust, but a few things. Like it's great to have access to a screen recorder. If you have a MacBook, it's very useful for me when I'm reporting like a bug or slowness or an issue to a TDE technical director. I love to screen record what I'm seeing just because it gives so much more context because it's very difficult for people sometimes to reproduce what you're seeing. So I find that like absolutely crucial. And then I also actually use it for downloading reference. From like YouTube or something, because there's a lot of sketchy websites for downloading YouTube clips, and sometimes they'll like put weird software like malware on your computer or pop-ups or whatever. So I'll use it for that, or I'll like screen record a YouTube clip just to use as reference. I think is great.
That's really great. Yeah.
That's a really good one.
Good job, Katie.
Oh, thanks, guys.
I've got one that's, man, this is like it's like a black hole.
Man.
If you know what it is, you know what I'm talking about. But it's called Notion. Have you guys heard of Notion?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do you know Evernote?
Notion.
I know of Evernote.
Notebook.
So
Notion is
that has kind of like an elephant for the logo.
Oh,
Evernote?
Evernote, yeah, I think okay. It's like a green icon.
Yeah.
Basically, Notion is, well, I just actually took a note of what it actually is. Notion is a freemium productivity and note-taking web application developed by Notion Labs, Inc. It offers organizational tools, including task management, project tracking, to-do lists, and bookmarking.
Oh my gosh.
So it's essentially this free software that you can get on your phone, you can get it on your computer. It also, it's just like on the browser. So any computer, you can do it at work. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it's free, honestly, because I know Evernote charged like a subscription, completely free. And you can basically, I use it for everything. Like I use it for a trip, like planning trips and like putting all my, you know, research into like different pages and like recipes and stuff. But for work or for just like my own personal projects, I do like to-do lists on there. Like just to like paint a picture of like how I might use it is like, okay, if I have this like test I want to work on, I make a page for it. I start doing brainstorming notes. I put like references in that page. And if I get notes from, you know, people, I'll like put it in there. And it basically becomes like a centralized location where an organized centralized location where I have access to all the information related to that thing. So it's a little like hard to explain, but it's like completely taken over my life.
Ooh. And it's really cool.
Yeah. It's like productivity. Like YouTubers always talk about it. That's why some people in our audience might know what I'm talking about.
You used a word I've never heard before. Freemium, which I like. So that's free, but really great. So like it shouldn't be free.
I think when freemium like means it's free, but there is some things you can pay for to make
it.
I think that's what that technically is. I don't know what you pay for with Notion, though. I think maybe for companies, they can pay for something for it. I also think like the cool thing about it is you can make it as simple as like a note-taking thing or a journal, or people do things super complex with like databases and like Kanban boards and all these like insane like things. So anyways, just look into it because it's free and it's good to organize your digital life.
Is that Notion?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
check it out.
I haven't heard of it.
It's just like kind of a hard thing to explain. That's why I was like, I don't know how to talk about it, but you can do it a lot on it. So just check it out.
That's really cool. Wow. Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah.
anything else? I have a quick little one. So this could be this could be a number of different things, but I'll say I have the Adobe Creative Cloud, like Creative Suite membership thing. And so I do use multiple things, whether it's like Adobe Animate or Photoshop, Illustrator, blah, blah, blah. But I specifically love Premiere Pro, specifically for editing my video reference. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple alternatives out there, like Kden Live, maybe some other things that are free. But yeah, I think the suite, I think if you, I'll say a pro tip, I wanted to fold in with this. If you pay for the yearly membership as opposed to monthly and talk to their customer support, they will usually knock a decent amount off the price for you. Check it out. Maybe even if you're a student, maybe you can get even a little more of a discount if you're okay with like a yearly thing. And yeah, you just contact customer support. But it is pretty awesome. I specifically, like I said, use Premiere Pro all the time for video reference because I can just really quickly chop up. And then I have like, okay, these are my top three takes. And then, you know, you can kind of narrow it down from there.
It's one of those things that like sometimes there are free versions for things, but the paid version is so much more convenient. Like I'm thinking about GIMP versus Photoshop.
Oh yeah.
I'm a GIMP user right. And I hate it.
Oh yeah.
Cause I just am too stubborn to pay for Photoshop, but it's just like, yeah, Adobe, it's so intuitive. Like they're, I've used Premiere before too. And it's just like so nice. It's so worth it.
Yeah.
Totally. This is not related, but I guess this counts as digital. I was just going to say podcasts in general for my workflow. Yeah. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about, like, it doesn't have to be a podcast, but what do you guys like listen to while you work or watch or whatever? And I definitely have some podcasts that I frequently listen to that I find like nice for working. Like I love Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
That's great.
It's often very like industry focused because basically Conan like interviews various celebrities about like their current projects, and so it's like somewhat related enough that I find it like interesting while animating, and comedy feels like related to, or a lot of the times they talk about comedy and how hard it is and the rejection you feel and like and trying to make it it feels like so relatable. So I listen to that one a lot, and then I have a lot of, these are not related to animation. I listen to Radiolab. I listen to This American Life. I listen to like more self-helpy ones like money podcasts, like So Money, and NerdWallet has a smart money podcast. And I'm just curious, like, what do you guys listen to while you work? Like what helps get you in the zone? Or
that's great.
Rainy Sounds.
That's a great one. Yeah. No. Wait, do you have the premium version?
No. No, I tend to like animate like a, I tend to kind of like go in silence because I get distracted. Except when I'm polishing, I do like listen to YouTube. Sometimes like there's some podcasts on there, just like entertainment, like the H3 podcast shout out.
Nice.
But I'd be curious to hear you, Ben.
Clint's Reptile.
Oh yeah.
I listen to a bunch of different things, a lot of the same podcasts as Katie. I'll give a shout out to, my favorite is probably Stuff You Should Know with Chuck Bryant and Josh Clark. Absolutely love that one. Clint's Reptiles is this YouTube page I've gotten obsessed with over the since like 2020 probably. And it is what it sounds like. It is this guy who generally talks about different reptiles.
Yes, it is exactly what it sounds like.
And he's like a PhD guy in Utah and is super passionate about animals.
He's very endearing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So, I'm actually someone who I generally, unless I'm animating dialogue, I generally like having some kind of, for lack of a better way to refer to it, meteor thing going on in the background where it's like either a video or a podcast or something. And sometimes I'll still get in moods where I want like just tones or rainy day, I think it's called, or rainy mood rather.
Rainy sounds.
Or yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, I usually like having I usually, my YouTube autoplay is just going like crazy. So it's usually a mixture of Clint's Reptiles and Inside the NBA with Charles Barkley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ben loves Inside the NBA. I like it too. It's very funny, actually. Yeah, I have so many. I also like Rethinking with Adam Grant. That was a psychologist I mentioned last episode for Burnout. And I like Food We Need to Talk, which is like a nutrition and health podcast that I really like. And I have so many. The Happiness Lab, that's another mental health one, which I love. This isn't just for ladies, but I think it's especially great for ladies. I loved Wiser Than Me, which has it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld fame, who's in Veep, and she's interviewing older women and asking for their advice. And I loved it because I just feel like older women are not never really have a voice in our culture, and it was really cool to see her interview people like Toni Morrison and Jane Fonda. Yeah, and now I'm like, did she interview Sally Toni Morrison? I might have made that up because I feel like Toni Morrison passed away recently. Anyway, now I feel really bad. No, it's okay. But it's people like that though, where you're just like, wow, I would really love to know what these women think about life and what advice they have to give. And and then in addition to podcasts, like I definitely have certain music that I gravitate to. I think we've talked about this before, but just things, depending on where I am in my shot, I have music that's like, if I really have like really tough problem solving and I need to do a ton of shot surgery, I definitely mentioned this, I'll listen to like the Sim City soundtrack and I listen to the Imagineering Story soundtrack.
There's actually a very good rationale behind this, and I agree with you.
There's like this like puzzle solving aspect.
The music somehow feels like motivational, yet like I don't know. Like
it's like you're playing a game.
Yeah, yeah. It encourages you to like think about things in a weird way.
But it's not distracting. I really love it for that. And then other times when I'm more in the zone, I might listen to musicals that I'm familiar with, or
Waitress, shout out.
Yeah, I love Waitress. Or I can kind of follow along the story and I'm very familiar, but it's not distracting because I'm so familiar. And then this is a funny one.
Oh, dang.
I'll listen to like really dirty rap sometimes because I just like find it amusing. It makes me like not take my job too seriously because I'm like, oh, I'm animating cartoons, but I'm listening to this like really dirty rap. I just kind of like
at the end of the day, we're just humans, we all just have desire.
Now I'm like gonna get in trouble, but no, it's in the privacy of my noise canceling headphones. And it's,
every time I see you at work, like working away, I'm just gonna imagine you listening to this thing. Like hardcore.
It's just like it kind of cracks me up. I'll listen to it while I'm running too, because it just like lightens my mood, and I'm always like amused by it.
That's awesome.
Ben and I like just rediscovered the Usher song, I Want to Make Love in This Club. Anyway,
that's not like,
it's not even that bad, but anyway, there's something about like being amused or like bringing humor into your everyday. Not that I think they wanted to be humorous, but for me.
Sometimes you need that Nicki Minaj super freak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's on my list. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Anyway.
Those are all really good.
That's great.
Amazing. One digital thing that I thought of too, I feel like I mentioned this before, was Rough Animator. I feel like I bring this up like every day.
Oh, that's great. Yeah,
made by an NYU alum. Shout out Jacob Kafka. But yeah, it's one-time fee for $7. There's no subscription, which is already amazing. And it's regularly updated. It's super great. It's super easy to use. You can use it for thumbnailing. You can use it for drawovers. You can export out image sequences, MP4s. You can. It's just like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Really great. Do you guys use it? Or I guess we have stuff at Disney that's kind of like, doesn't mean you would need it because there's
Sure. So I have used it. Yeah. And I bought it because it was, I definitely felt like it was worth it. It's so funny. We talk about this all the time with like your frame of reference for, or just like the mentality behind paying for an app versus whatever. Like, you don't blink at like paying $5 to $10 for a coffee, you know, yeah, every day or every other day or whenever. Yeah. But then all of a sudden, if an app is $7, you're like, whoa, like this better be great. But like, yeah, I can say with absolute confidence
that goes in.
Rough Animator is worth so much more than $7. It is a steal for $7. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't use it in my everyday, but I use like the work equivalent sometimes for shots where, you just roughly try to plan something with a Cintiq or with an iPad or, that's great.
Okay. So next we are going to go into the miscellaneous or MISC for those who are short on time. So this one was kind of a catch-all for things we weren't sure where to put them. So if anybody has, you know what, I'm just going to start it off. I feel like I'm already talking one out. Okay.
Do it.
This is a silly thing, but I'll say I love my no spill coffee mug or coffee thermos rather.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it sounds ridiculous, but there, I remember, so Katie and I went to school at SCAD and about halfway through our time there, there was a rule where all of a sudden they were like, no food or drink in the laboratory, which was like terrible because people like lived in the laboratory. Yeah. You need like food and drink there. But it was because a shocking amount of people, maybe myself included, I don't know, I won't say, have had spilt things like whatever on their computers, and they're like, you know, $10,000-$15,000 computers and keyboards and stuff. So I'll just say, if you're in the industry for any amount of time, this sounds ridiculous, but you probably will spill something. So because of that, I highly recommend my, it's one of those coffee thermoses that has like a button you have to push to be able to drink out of it, you know? Okay. And I have knocked it over at my computer so many times, I can't even tell you. And every time I'm like, thank God, this is the no spill thing. It's a silly one, but I love it.
It's probably like, actually, I wrote down the insulated coffee mug, and I assume it also like keeps your beverages warm or cold or whatever. And that is pretty, that's a really nice feature to have where you get your coffee in the morning and then it's still warm 2 hours later and you don't have to go back to the coffee station.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Or if you bring it from home, then it lasts you for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, the thermos technology has really taken off. Kudos to that entire industry.
Whoever is researching the thermos technology, if you could get on global warming, I think it could really help us out. Thank please.
I feel like that kind of brings up to just like coffee in general. Or I think that stuff. I love both coffee and tea. So great.
Do you have any recs on either end for
like specific
anything? Whether it's a brand or like a specific, like when you go to X place, you always order this or whatever. I'd be curious to hear.
Okay, this is like
let me hear
bougie.
Good.
Well, no, just having like we have an espresso machine.
They say here. Drink for the job you want. So that's what they say. You have an espresso machine espresso. Here. Sorry.
Espresso. That was one of the things we bought when we kind of as like a homecoming gift. Is that a homecoming? First thing we bought when we got the house is like,
housewarming.
Housewarming.
Okay. Yeah.
And we got a little like Breville espresso machine. And, I typically have Americanas.
Oh.
Which is just like espresso.
Because you are an Americano.
I am an American.
Actually, that's Ben's go-to as well.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Lattes. We used to do lattes like every day, and that's a lot of like cream.
All that lactose, man.
A lot of lactose. But,
Yeah. That's related to like snacking in general. I will admit to snacking. I love having certain snacks to go during the day, whether it's like I haven't been on this as much recently, but I used to have like peanut butter pretzels a lot because they're like a self-contained.
Yeah, so oh, are you going to shout out the best we've had?
Oh, Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
There's something about them. It's pretzel with a little peanut butter in the middle.
Is those like little pretzel nugs?
Yes.
Exactly. Oh, I've had those. Nuggets.
Somehow Trader Joe's. I mean, you can't have like a bad one. They're all good.
They last a long
but
time.
But somehow Trader Joe's does it better than anyone. They're kind of, they're longer and thinner.
Better.
This is so good.
Don't get dry eating a lot of them? Or is
maybe
it?
Maybe I drink water.
Not if I have an Americano. If I, no. Actually, I don't know. Do you find that?
No, well, no, I don't snack on that. I guess I should.
Yeah. No, I don't have like various protein bars or granola bars nearby. Yeah. And actually, I don't snack on these as much. I used it as like a bribe mechanism. I have like peanut M&Ms at my desk just to like make people like me and have them come visit.
And people do like you. And I think it's because of the M&M.
And it cracks me up because I'll like, so I work hybrid. So right now I work Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. And I'll like come in and realize that the level has gone down since I've been but yeah, that's any
we don't think it's rats.
That like don't leave a residue on your fingers because you're like on your computer.
It's like Cheez-Its.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, like cheese curls. But
can you give your pro tip about cheese curls though? How do you?
Oh, use chopsticks. Yeah.
Hey,
oh,
that should have been a tip jar.
I could not agree more with this.
You don't get the cheesy residue on your fingers.
And I know what you're thinking, listener. Easy for you to say, Katie. You're half Chinese. Let me tell you, as a full-blooded German-American, figure out the chopsticks because it is so much better eating. When I'm at home, I use chopsticks even, and I don't even have to. It's so much better.
Yeah.
Wait, sidebar about like snacking and candy. I can't have candy in a close vicinity to me because I feel like I can't stop eating it.
Ooh.
Are you guys the type that can like have like half of a Snickers bar and be okay? Or do you need to what Ben's pointing at me. Maybe I didn't finish.
Let me ask you this. When you say candy, do you mean any candy? Or do you mean like Snickers? Do you mean like chocolatey, caramel, caramel? Sort of do you like mean, what if it's like Sour Patch Kids? Same?
I'll pretty much get through it. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Are you not that way?
Because I think we're split, actually.
Yeah. I'm not that way.
Okay.
But Ben, maybe?
Wait, you're not that way. What?
I can stop eating candy.
Yeah, you like chocolate though.
No, I love chocolate, but the M&Ms are in my office.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I'll say I have a weird thing where specifically with like soury, sugary candy.
You can stop.
No.
Gotcha.
That one gets me. Yeah, like sour straws or whatever, like the sour Airhead things or whatever. I'm really into that. Chocolate, I'm pretty decent at mediating myself. But
I definitely prefer chocolate, and I like Ben knows I love the salty sweet combo. So I love chocolate covered pretzels. I love combining chocolate with popcorn or whatever. But I think I'm pretty good at moderation.
You are, yeah.
It's good.
You're very disciplined.
Thank you. Well, you don't want to crash, but I do find like having like a trail mix or something nearby is really crucial for getting through crunch or getting through we go to lunch at noon to 1:00, and then there's like 5 to 6 hours after that where you're working.
Lunchtime like doesn't make sense. yeah
so you like really need something at like 3 or 4.
Yeah Totally agree. I'll say this is related to, I should have folded it in earlier, but Garrett asked the question, doesn't your mouth get dry? Like with those peanut butter pretzels. One of the other things I had written down here, another drink thing, and it's kind of silly, but I will plug the 32-ounce Nalgene narrow-mouthed water bottle. Narrow mouth. That might seem... not like a big deal. I go for the narrow mouth.
Checkout line at REI.
It is in the checkout line at REI. You can also get it online. They also have them 16 ounce, but you need a lot of water. Go ahead and go for the 32. Yeah.
Are you a hydro homie, Ben?
I am a hydro homie.
I love it. explain the narrow mouth.
I'm yeah, good question. So you would think like wide mouth, no problem, right? But I'll tell you this, when you're at work, you're slurping that down or whatever, or God forbid, if
Ben
you're ever like
timing drinking for if it, now.
Yeah, yeah. God forbid, if you're ever like walking and want to take a drink,
oh, yep.
You drink the car. From the wide mouth or in a car. That's a great example. You bring. I'm so glad you brought it. That's potentially
it
the
like
best example.
All over your face.
It go so the wide mouth. It goes up to like halfway up the bridge of your nose, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, if there's any sort of any residual movement going on, yes. It splashes all over you.
Okay.
The narrow mouth. The top of that opening. Is on the top of your lip. Mm-hmm. You can press it against there. So safe. No spillage.
You're not plugging the Stanley mug things.
Stanley? Stanley.
You guys are not up to date with all the TikTok and
stuff. Oh, no, I'm not.
You know those pink Stanley, like the name, full name Stanley.
What was it, narrow mouth?
It's like this mug that has a straw in it, and there are like different colors. People are like going nuts for them and like storming Target.
Well, I'll say maybe for that. I haven't tried it.
We don't have
straw,
it.
Straw, like, is that hard to
that,
clean?
Good point. Good point. I don't know about the cleaning the straw. You got to get one of those little brushes.
Yeah, you could get those brushes, I guess. Yeah. I was kind of laughing about the narrow mouth thing, but I've had that experience.
Yeah.
Of, you know, the water, and it just like goes over your
lips. I want you to try a narrow mouth.
You can also
mouth.
Get a splash guard that you can insert into one of the wide mouth ones.
Yeah, but it is pretty good.
It's like this little rubber insert.
That's a good tip for your mist. Like this is in another.
This is another official
tip from mist. Yeah,
it's like this little rubber piece that fits into the wide mouth hole. To make it and it's like it makes it like a kid's sippy cup almost, but it does stop it from splashing on you. So if you already have a wide mouth, you don't have to go and buy a new narrow mouth.
But if you want to, go for the narrow mouth. Garrett, I so want you to try the narrow mouth.
I love this.
And I'll say, I have the 32 ounce Nalgene narrow mouth in kind of an olive green. I get so many comments
at work. I'm pointing to my water bottle.
That is like the size of narrow mouth. Okay. Yes. Yes. Garrett is pointing to kind of a metal canteen that looks kind of narrow mouth.
Like
yes.
2 inches across maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is so great. But everybody, if you get the olive green, so many people are like, oh, that looks like olive oil. That looks like whiskey. And then you can start a nice little conversation about
And we honestly don't drink enough water as people, as humans. So it's a good reminder.
Let's plug that. And water and...
Go to the bathroom more so you get more steps in.
Yeah. Katie, is there another nutrient you'd like to plug? We've talked about this recently.
Nutrient?
Starts with a P.
Protein?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah,
it
was not on my list. But
I know. No. I think you should talk about it.
Protein powder.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, protein's great
as a woman because it's seen as like a very. It's seen as like okay. So Garrett said protein powder. So listener, when you think of protein bar, protein powder. What are you thinking of?
Bodybuilder.
Probably a douchey guy with a really thin, muscle shirt on. But Katie Lowe, I can tell you, takes a lot of protein powder and protein bars.
Try to, yeah. Yep. Now we're getting into nutrition in general.
Yeah.
But I feel like it took till my 20s to realize that I was like drastically under eating protein in general. And there's sort of like a... I don't know the official stats. I'm not like prepared, but kind of depending on your weight, you're supposed to eat like a certain number of grams of protein. And especially if you're like an active athletic person or you're working out, like you need to like double or triple that.
Yeah.
So I found out like I probably need to be eating like 100 grams plus of protein a day.
But like minimum. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah. or maybe even more, like 150 to 200. Yeah. But
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Okay.
A
lot of this. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to defend this. I know I kind of like drug us here, but this is related to work. It's about your general health and what you bring to the office, the rest of your life. I think the average American is getting, like, average anybody is probably getting between 30 to 70 grams of protein a day.
I agree with that.
And I would say the average American does not weigh 30 to 70 pounds. You should be getting at least as many grams of protein as pounds you weigh. Maybe slash potentially like more
like
if you
1.5 grams per pound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
So think about that. I mean, that's eating, you should be getting a if you're not making a conscious effort to get enough protein, you're probably not getting enough protein.
Yeah, I mean, and caveat that, like, if you're like a serious meat eater, you might be getting
More. Yeah.
I have a tough time because I'm vegetarian, so I like have to be very conscious about like working it in with protein powders and like eating certain protein combos like beans and rice. But yeah, it is a constant thing where like I'm not like super huge on calorie counting or anything, but I have gone through periods where I like count my protein just to like really try to track, because you can really easily go through a day without like eating any protein. So
I'm glad we're here because I think it's a very legitimate. We've talked about a lot of bougie things. This is one that people can generally do. Focus on your eating, whether protein powder, whatever, your meals. It, for me, I notice a huge difference at work. When I've been getting a decent amount of the nutrients I need plus water
The three of us, I think, are pretty good at like meal stuff at work. Like, pretty organized and
Well, you guys more than me. You guys actually like
to. No, you do it too, guy. Are you gonna shout out?
I was just thinking
That could be a misc for you.
So I use this service, man. We really should be sponsored by them.
I know.
Service called.
It's kind of a chicken and egg thing. Do we advertise it first, then get sponsored, or vice versa? I don't know.
I know. No, I use a service called Thistle, and it's vegan like lunches that you can, or I think there's breakfast, lunches, and dinners. But it is kind of bougie because you know you're paying like I forget like 14 to 16 bucks a meal, but they like ship you out. Like meals, and the reason I did it was because like my cholesterol was high, and it was because you know, I was eating too much meat or whatever, saturated fats, and I've been doing it for like the past 6 months, and I got my cholesterol checked and it went way down. That's, and my doctor's amazing. Like, yeah, keep doing what you're doing. So I'm not like vegetarian or vegan or anything, but I figured like, okay, well, I can do at least some like meals I have aren't meat. And so I've been really liking it, honestly. It's great. And if you obviously it depends on like if you have enough money to if you have a job to pay for that and you want to spend your money on that, but I've been liking it. But you guys actually like meal prep, so I feel like you're better examples.
No, that's but it's similar I guess mentality, where it's just like, okay, like these are things I
making
like, yes
healthy decisions,
yeah, like
the, structurally building it in.
I feel like the greatest obstacle between you and being healthier is just preparation, because like in the moment when we're starving or we've been working all day, we just want something, that's when we're like, you know, go for the fast food, whatever, and we still love fast food, don't get us wrong. We still get it a lot. But
it's maybe not the best thing to like fuel you for.
Yeah. But we try to make our main thing.
Plus hours of work. Yeah,
exactly.
You feel better when you eat better.
Yeah,
totally.
Like your energy level, your digestion.
Which always, I love what you said before, or is it somebody you listen to with like, if you're trying to be healthier, don't focus on cutting bad things out.
Yeah.
Focus on getting good things into your system, and then it'll kind of naturally,
by the time you like get everything good and you're full, or you don't feel like the same cravings,
like that protein goal. And I think Katie has a personal goal of eating like vegetables with every meal.
Yeah,
if you're getting that amount of protein and vegetables, you will not find yourself craving the junk food as much, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think there's something about restriction, which like is psychologically like so draining.
Yeah.
And you're bound to like break it and feel really guilty, or like then you go on a binge or something. And I just find it like a much healthier goal to like, okay, I'm going to focus on eating this thing that I know is good for me. Maybe I'll still have room for the unhealthy thing later, but like I need to hit certain targets. Now we're really getting into nutrition. Oh. You should listen to my favorite podcast, Food We Need to Talk.
Oh, there you go.
It about all nutrition. Back. But
it's important. It's good stuff.
Anything else for Misk? Or go ahead, Garrett.
No, I was just gonna say anything else for Misk. I was gonna say the same thing as you.
Kidilla.
Are we ready to move on?
Sure.
I think that brings us to our fun section, which is
duds
or like things we bought but kind of regret, and we like thought it was going to be a game changer for our workflow, and then like it just did not hold or really make a difference. As we thought,
I will say I love the name duds. Also, every time I hear the word duds, I think of like things you wear. Like, oh, really? Nice duds.
I thought you were going to say milk duds because we were talking about candy.
No, I think of like
things we wear.
I've never heard that.
Is that right? Is
that duds like, oh, that's like a duddy.
Oh, check out my duds. No, it's more like, oh, what I got.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Is this a Midwest thing?
Maybe. Okay, we'll keep going.
What are
okay.
you referring to? Could it be any article of clothing?
I mean, that's the part I'm not 100% sure about, which I'm insecure about now. I don't know if it might. Here's two things. It might specifically be shoes.
Okay.
That's
But if it's not shoes, it might just be like anything you've got on. Like, it's like, check out my duds. I feel like that's duds.
I mean, it's when you say it like that, it sounds like a thing.
Thank you.
I believe you.
Yeah.
The topic, it's like regrets. Like,
okay, well, I didn't know I was the only one out of the three of us that thought that. Okay, go ahead. Totally. Yeah. Regrets.
I can start. Go. I suggested this topic because I have some.
Oh.
The first one is
husband.
Oh no! Oh my god!
Did not expect that. A little
marital humor, not at all. The first one is a posture vest.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Our friend Sagar Arun.
Oh my god!
One day,
I can't believe it.
Was wearing and like plugging this like cool looking posture vest thing he bought, which like helped him keep a straight posture at his desk, and it looks like something like I don't know. It was like a Mission Impossible or like Ninja Turtle thing.
It like
thing.
Pushes your shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like the backpack without a backpack. It's like just the straps, but and you like tighten them. And I wore it for like one day for like 15 minutes. And I was like, this thing is like digging into my skin and I hate it. And I bought Ben one too. it was pretty inexpensive, but that's definitely like sitting in a drawer somewhere, or maybe like in a donation bag. I don't even know where it is, but it did not make an impact.
That's a good one. There's so many things on that, like on Instagram where you'll like see an ad for something. You're just like, it does this. Like,
oh, I'm going to be so productive once I get this, or like so healthy.
Actually. Related. I should have put this in the miscellaneous category.
No, this is great.
You two will not know this or relate. And
try me.
I'm just gonna be really like honest and personal. It's crucial to have a good bra at work.
I couldn't agree more.
Like, you just don't want to have any back pain or anything like digging into you. And they're literally.
I'm glad you're bringing this up. This is very legitimate. There's been multiple times, full disclosure, where Katie's been in a really bad mood.
Yes.
And then she's like, I have the wrong. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
Occasionally I'll buy like a bra that's too small or something. And I will notice like, oh, like my breathing is slightly restricted.
Oh, yeah.
It's correlated. The mind-body connection we were talking about last episode. I think it makes me like more stressed out and in a bad mood when I can't breathe fully. So, all right, I'm adding the female perspective, or person with
breasts
perspective. You don't have to be
person who wants some extra chest support perspective.
Yes. So yeah, I mean, I guess the bottom line is like wear comfortable things that like help you. Like it could also be like, I remember when I started out in the industry, I wanted to dress really nice and I would wear like a pencil skirt to work or something, yeah, or tights. And then like now I wear like a lot of athleisure.
Yeah.
Because I just know like it's so important to be comfortable. But
yeah.
Sidebar, does it kind of annoy you guys that we're living in Los Angeles and it's hot? And you gotta go to work, and I'm always wearing pants. Like, I want to wear shorts, but it's, like, so cold. The AC and these...
You know what? I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up now. And I was going to say, it was actually part of MISC as well.
Snuggies?
Snuggies.
Yes, exactly. How did you know? No, it was layers.
Oh.
Yeah. It's, like, a silly... Because it sounds so silly, but, like, I will say, yeah, especially... Living and working in LA, yet to Garrett's point, and Garrett has beautiful legs, but he feels like he can't wear shorts to work. It's because, yeah,
you showcase it's the, my beautiful legs.
Just kidding. Crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's a silly thing, but I would say if you can plan your outfits with layers accordingly, there's
do you remember those,
again, like, it's silly, but like it does make a difference. Like when I'm comfortable, I do feel better at my job.
There are
frankly.
Like rooms at work vary in temperature wildly.
Yes.
Depending
yeah.
on like whether your room has the thermostat or the vent or whatever, or there's yeah. the number of people in the room, whatever.
Totally. Yeah.
So you really have to be prepared.
Some people have bought like low voltage space heaters
which they have
to be low voltage because otherwise they're like a fire hazard.
Right.
But I haven't done that, but that might be necessary.
Yeah. Man, if you run hot, like whatever it is.
Yeah. I totally agree with you though. Where it's like, okay, wait, Garrett and I both generally bike into work and it's like those are two very different scenarios. Like pumping on a bike outside versus sitting at your desk and it's tough.
Totally. And I imagine it's probably hard for the studio to account for all the like equipment that needs to be
totally.
There's a lot of different types of people. So, but it is like, I'm like, I do think we over air condition in general. I think that there's been like articles written about that. And I don't know. There's probably reasons that I'm too dumb to know, but
there probably are reasons. I don't think you're too dumb to know. So I won't say yes to that.
Back to duds.
Duds.
Yeah, regrets.
Right. Oh, you ready? I've got one.
I'm ready. Oh, is it your throwback?
How'd you know?
Yeah. Oh, this is the thing I was like shocked.
Okay. Noise canceling headphones.
Is your dud?
Oh,
This is a gift I bought for
me. No. So there's a big asterisk here. I do like them, but at work, I actually prefer the really basic Apple corded headphones that have the microphone in them. Because we talked about headphones before, or like headsets before. I, in particular, really like being able to hear what's going on around me. If anybody ever needs me, there's a conversation where like I might pick something.
Supervisor now, by the way.
No. It's not because of that.
Congrats.
But
that's true.
It's not because of that. But you pick up on things that like you might otherwise not hear, which I'm trying to word that in a way that doesn't sound like I'm just like, you know, like Snoop. But but I love those things, the more basic Apple headphones.
But do you not get distracted if you're working and there's like people in your office?
It's definitely a potential drawback, yeah. But I generally I like just being like, okay, I'm not going to pay attention to that, even though I can hear it. And like, I can always double-edged sword because like, I could be like, oh, I'll just turn up my volume a little bit, which could be bad for your ears, you know, but I like it. And I think the microphone inside works like incredibly well compared to like a lot of headsets and stuff. So I really like those actually. That's and I still like my noise canceling headphones. But for airplanes and stuff, but I generally do not use them at work.
Mm.
And Listener, please know this is happening in real time. We're not making it up. See the little note I wrote in my notes under noise canceling headphones thing.
Katie and Garrett will not agree.
Garrett, Katie and Garrett will not agree. Yeah, that's true.
I wrote that under this point because I know Katie and Garrett have their fancy Bose.
Also, I will say, I just have weird ears or something because the Apple ones just don't stay in my ears.
Yeah.
So I just don't use them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the insides of my ears or your ears, but they're different.
They're made for German. but I part of my larger point though with all of this is that I hope what you've picked up from this is like with like the mouse.
Oh yeah, it's so variable.
Pencil, trackpad thing, whatever. There's only three of us here, and all three of us chose a different thing. Yeah. And then with the headphones, there's two different things we chose. So, of course, it all is very dependent on where you're working and like what resources are available. But never feel self-conscious about, oh, I like it this way, because that's totally valid. It's one of the things that was like, frankly, kind of frustrating for me originally when getting into animation is like, there was this animator you really looked up to and they were like, oh, I want the monitor stacked on top of each other in this, and I have to have this pencil for this and these headphones. Totally. And then this other animator is like, no, I like them side by side and I always use this mouse and blah, blah, blah. So all that to say, all that matters is the work on screen at the end of the day, and however you feel most comfortable, there's no right or wrong way. But it's fun to talk about and to try and to try these different things.
Yeah. It's good to try too. Yeah. Cause like sometimes you don't know, like just give it a shot, like try to use the Cintiq pen. I do
still want to try that. I'll be honest. I have not totally tried that out. Yeah. I feel like I haven't given it a fair shot, but
I will say the like tablet, like using just a tablet is also similar. It doesn't necessarily be a Cintiq, but
I'll say you usually have to be, I'll say if there's a strategy behind like trying something new, I would say allow yourself 2 to 3 weeks to try something out where you're working with it consistently.
Mm-hmm. Give it a
shot.
And
I think that's generally what we do with for example, Katie recently started using X keys.
Oh, yeah.
And it took a couple weeks.
That was
one
I meant to mention in the physical, but we'd already like talked about it.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was like, oh, skip it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
But it took a little while, right? Yeah. It wasn't like immediate.
Yeah, now I bring them wherever I work. So
yeah, so that's kind of the practical. You have to. So, for example, I don't try anything new when we're like in crunch at work.
Yeah.
But during the slow times where kind of like I'm working on something, but the deadline's kind of like malleable or flexible, that's when I'll kind of try to do different things with my workflow.
Agree.
I think you could do that in school as well. If it's like, okay, I just need to bang this out, get it done, stick to what feels good. Mm-hmm. If you kind of feel like you have a little time and flexibility, try something new and see, you might like it.
That's great. That's really good.
Do you have any duds, Garrett?
So I didn't have any duds. I wrote duds / overrated.
That counts. That's a dud.
This is a little controversial, so it's kind of on the heels of what Ben was talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't even fully agree with what I'm saying here either. But so during like the pandemic when we started working from home, basically my whole like workspace at home like shifted. And basically the point is I used to always work with two monitors and that was like always essential for me. And now I don't. I work with one monitor, at least at home with my personal.
Yeah.
Okay,
with at work, I have two monitors, but I don't find it that essential. If you set your kind of like workspace up efficiently and you have good hotkeys and stuff, you can get by with one monitor. If you like, there's like a hotkey in Maya to kind of like toggle between the cameras. I find it very...
Oh, yeah, I use that.
You know what I'm talking about? The camera switcher? Yeah. I think even Animbot might even have a script for that, but I've been finding it okay, at least for my personal projects, to have one, to get by with one monitor. However, that being said, it's I do like having two monitors. Like, so it's not really a good...
Yeah.
Good no, I think up, that is good.
Yeah,
I
you like can that. Set up commands to like maximize and minimize windows, which I remember I got more into that during the pandemic where there was more limited screen space. And
yeah. I think that's a great one. That fits under, for me, yeah, like working in the professional world is a mix of sticking to your guns and being flexible, you know, and there's a lot of gray area in between. And I think that's a great one for being flexible. I was the same way for the first, gosh, I don't know, probably 2-3 years working in the industry. I was really obsessed with a tear-off panel for my camera. In Maya, yeah. Where I always had a second window open that was the camera.
Yeah.
And then the main window in Maya was just a perspective camera. Mm-hmm. And then when we, like, the pandemic happened or we went home and screen space was compromised, then I got into the using a hotkey to switch between perspective and camera. And now I actually prefer that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so, faster. Yeah.
Yeah. The performance. Yeah.
It's handy.
Although I still love my 38-inch
monitor. Yeah.
I don't know if I would voluntarily come back, but no, I agree. It's absolutely a creature comfort and not a thing I can't live without. It's a thing I prefer to live with.
Yeah.
But
that being said, I feel like I've tried to work on laptops, like using Maya on a laptop. Yeah. I haven't been able to crack the code. I know like you can do it, but I like having a desktop with.
Yeah.
Gosh, that seems really tough. Yeah.
Yeah. The screen space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's possible, but.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other duds?
I think that.
Oh, I have some.
Oh. I think that is a good time to transition to Katie.
These are so silly that I'll be quick. One is the like Cintiq glove.
Oh, that's
good. There's a glove where it's like just on your ring finger and your pinky, and it's basically
so badass.
So that you can like slide across the screen without like triggering a response, like a mouse response. Oh. And it makes you like look cool. It's very similar to like when I played lacrosse, I like would wear gloves to like be intimidating.
But
they gave me no like additional functionality except for like maybe when it was cold, it was nice to have them on. But for the Cintiq, same thing. I think it's just like
you don't think it has any.
I mean, like it does.
If you have kind of like a sweaty hand,
does help, but it was not habit forming.
Oh yeah,
I stopped using it fairly immediately.
Is it only for touch screen Cintiqs, or does it actually like? Is it supposed to prevent like the pen hitting it? Like, what's the utility?
Yeah, it's more like a touch screen functionality where you don't want your skin to touch and like confuse the contact. Yeah. And maybe I just don't like draw or use the Cintiq enough to warrant it. But yeah, I like got it. I think I got a free one from Toon Boom or something. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. And then I wore it like twice. And don't use it now. Yeah, that was one. And then I've been
kind of interested in them here and there.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Or even just on the iPad. Sometimes it really heats up, you know?
Okay. And, well, yeah, you can have it. I still have it.
Oh, thanks.
I also have like ergonomic gloves that are supposed to like help more with carpal tunnel or something, but I don't wear them. I just bought them off Amazon and I really don't wear them at all. And then this is another kind of related thing. I'm curious what you guys think, because this was like such a hot topic. Blue light filtering glasses. Mm. I have them, but I just like don't wear them consistently. And I don't think I noticed like a huge difference. I think it's better for me to just like turn the lights down at the end of the day. And I don't know. I definitely don't wear them while animating.
The glasses you wear at work aren't normal, are not blue light filtering?
They are, but I don't wear them while I'm animating very often because they like squeeze against my headphones. It's like such a like basic thing.
OMG.
That I just don't really wear. I wear them at dailies because I think they make me look smarter.
Yeah, but, they do.
And like trendier. Yeah. But, but yeah, while I'm animating, I'll put them on for a bit. And then I'm like, oh no, they're like squeezing my temples because of my noise canceling headphones.
But it is the utility of them. It's the like the just.
Yeah, just, like, maybe. Maybe it's my head.
We might have discovered. This one, okay, so I was actually going to, the conversation kind of moved on, but I was going to list this under the physical
thing. Your glasses.
I love my blue light filtering. Oh. And I have close to 20/20 vision, but it just makes things like slightly sharper and crisper on the computer. And I do not wear the headphones that press them against my head. I wear the basic Apple ones. So I wonder if that's like why. But I I'm not the winner. We both are, but you're the headphones winner. I'm the glasses winner. But it's interesting.
Yeah, I do wear my glasses. Same thing. I have close to 20/20, but like the optometrist showed me I could have slightly sharper vision. So I have some glasses that I will wear to meetings and demonstrations because when people demo stuff in animation software on the computer, it's like tiny.
Oh, yeah.
So I wear it for that. But yeah, while I'm animating, I don't wear them.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like...
Go ahead.
I don't think my glasses are like blue light filtering, but I definitely like on my personal computer and stuff have those like... apps that
exactly filter it out or whatever. It's like better for me to structurally build it in,
like after 8 p.m. you can like turn that. It to like more of a yellow light or something.
I think Mac might even have that integrated into the iOS.
Oh yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah. Even the phones, I'm sure it's better actually to have like the glasses so it's like guaranteed, but I haven't. That's interesting. I haven't even like thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just because I didn't grow up wearing glasses at all. Yeah. So it's just like hard to form that
habit.
That's
funny. But... Neither did I. It just, I feel like I wore them at work just enough to get like addicted to them. So now like when I go to work and I don't have them, there even though go. I different. Don't necessarily need them,
I'm
like,
you're God, you're farsighted. Or, I mean, I know it sounds like it's late anyways.
I would be, it's okay. I think I would lean toward slightly nearsighted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm very nearsighted.
Oh, yeah?
So I have contacts in right now. Yeah.
Okay. Are they blue light filtering?
I don't know if contacts can be.
Can they? No, no.
Okay. I don't know, actually.
I don't know either.
I don't think they are. Because I remember when you get glasses, you can like pick out more expensive lenses to do that.
Oh, yeah. The contacts is not the case. Gotcha.
Yeah. But like as far as like promising, like you're going to have the best sleep of your life, like I don't think it translated to that.
Actually, I would agree with that. Because, well, you just heard, I wear them, Katie doesn't. Katie's generally better about going to sleep than I am. But yeah.
Yeah. That's all I had. Do you guys have anything else?
No.
That's it. Should we move on?
Does that bring us?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Does that bring us to the tip jar?
That's how those words work. Woo! Ching, 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 ching.
This tip jar is kind of special, actually. It's not a normal tip.
What is it?
It's not a tip at all, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's a we're going to be responding to some listener mail.
Woo! So listener mail tip jar.
Yeah, we got a really nice email from a listener, Jenny M. I'll just read it. I won't paraphrase it because I'll be better read it. She says, "I started art in 2020, but only recently took it seriously. I want to become an animator, and I intend to apply to some schools with an animation degree. I live in France, so there's a lot of them. Do you guys know what to put in a portfolio for school animation? Do I have to put some animation or a demo reel in it?" And then she added, "Because to be honest, I don't think I'm good enough," which we wanted to respond to right away. And yeah, I'm curious to hear what you guys think. First off, I'll just reply right away. There's no good or bad. It's all about the work you put in and your passion and potential. I'm sure, like, I can just tell from, like, the thought you put into this email that you're somebody who seems to care a lot. So I have the utmost faith that you are good enough and, like, you just need, you know, the access to the teaching and the resources, and you'll get there. But, yeah, let's talk about the demo reel, or yeah, what are your guys' immediate thoughts or portfolio?
Garrett's pointing at me, so I'll talk. I agree with what Katie's saying. I will say, go make it, first of all, awesome that you're thinking about this and first started art in 2020 and just now are getting like serious about it. That's still a fairly quick turnaround compared to a lot of people. So kudos to you for putting action behind kind of those feelings you have. Go ahead and I would say make a list of the colleges you're interested in applying to and specifically look on all of those colleges' websites because most of them are pretty good about saying kind of exactly what is needed in a portfolio. So listen to those, of course. But off the top of my head, I would say animation is probably not required, especially if it's an undergraduate program. There's just not a ton of people doing like animation in like grade school or high school. So I don't think it's widely required or expected at all. My sense is they'll probably ask for like drawings you've done or a sketchbook or illustrations or whatever. And in those cases, especially if it's undergrad or whatever, again, look at the requirements on the website, but anything you have is probably quote unquote good enough, whether it's like doodles in a notebook or
life drawing
or a life drawing or whatever you have. If you like drawing caricatures or silly animals or whatever, just put whatever you have in there. I don't think you have to feel a whole lot of pressure right now necessarily to have like a very specific looking reel. Maybe there would be a couple colleges where they would like to see a little bit of animation. If you're open to that, go for it. But don't let that be a barrier to you, I'd say, and focus on the ones that don't require it and just submit your drawings or whatever. But I'm curious to hear what you guys think. I don't know.
Did she specify whether it was like 2D animation or CG?
Oh, good question.
Not in here. Okay. I do wonder, for France, if it would be more 2D, 3D, but I don't know.
Yeah. No, I feel like, Ben, what you said was like really great with like looking up the websites of all those colleges and stuff and seeing what they're applying for. I feel like the immediate thing I thought of was, in an ideal world, I feel like colleges and stuff would be looking for potential,
Exactly.
It's not your technique or your execution necessarily. I mean, I don't know if this is the case, but that's like me thinking pie in the sky. Yeah. So it would be just like your ideas, I feel like, are the strong. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like always what I kind of like, tell people is like the ideas are the most important thing. And then don't worry about like if your drawings are bad or something, but if you're like kind of the heart behind them are strong, I feel like good colleges or universities would see your potential possibly. Mm-hmm. But with CG, I would say like it would probably be cool if you maybe showed some sort of kind of technical ability with like Maya or something, because it is a little bit, the tool is unfortunately just something you kind of like need to know, but I think you could learn that in school, so I don't know. But I feel like the main takeaway for me would be just like the potential, your kind of thought process, your idea, rather than the actual like if your anatomy is perfect. That's what you're learning in school, right? Is like the anatomy and all that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, what you said about Maya reminds me of I feel like it's one of those things where it would just be a bonus, but it's not at all required, where it kind of shows like, oh, you took some initiative on your own to like really dive into something animation related. And it's, not at all required, but it could be something that like stands out or whatever. But I'm thinking back to when I applied to SCAD's MFA program. I'm trying to remember what I had on my portfolio, and I don't think it was that great. It was a lot of, I've scrambled, I think, over like a few weeks to put something together. I had like some rough drawings of like, I drew my brother, I drew my sister's dog, and I just had like all these random drawings. And then I like threw together this really, really amateur storyboard And I, since I was kind of interested in stop motion, I hobbled together a couple puppets and like roughly animated them. But yeah, everything was, I mean, if I look at it back at it now, it was all like definitely very beginner amateur level. But I think like to Garrett's point, it just showed potential and showed ideas and some passion. So I think that was like the most important thing to get across as opposed to like actually having any animation or a demo reel. I probably threw in a stop motion short I did in college, that sort of thing. But yeah, again, it was all like very beginner level. So I do think, yeah, potential was the most important thing.
For sure. Yeah. Garrett, what? How about for the NYU film program? What sort of stuff did that require?
So it's a little weird for me because I went to, in high school, I actually took a summer program at NYU. And it was a little bit of like a way, like if you could go to the summer program, you could get accepted into that.
Gotcha. You kind of like primed the pump a little bit.
Yeah. Gotcha. Primed the pump a little bit.
That's not like an inappropriate.
It just, I know, it just weird. Reminded me of Wet Your Willy.
You need to wet your willy.
Oh my god! Cool. Sorry.
Oh my god!
I feel like that's kind of what it made me think of is because I remember in that program, like the film I made out of that summer program was. I look back at it and I cringe. There was like a theme there. I was going for something, and the theme in my like kind of like emo stage of life was like, oh, do I become an artist or do I go the traditional route? That was like the
theme. Oh, yeah. Film.
Oh, nice.
And it was.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
It was very melodramatic, but like it was real to me at the time. Sure. And I ended up getting accepted and stuff. And I think maybe there was some, they saw that like, okay, like I'm trying to say something, you know, maybe my technique is really lame and bad, but I'm trying to do something. So yeah, I think that's kind of why I feel strongly. I feel like a good school might just be like, you know, what are you trying to say? What's your idea? And I mean, personally, that's how I would, if I were like reviewing, I'd be like, I don't really care if you're not the best like artist or whatever. I would just look at your ideas.
Yeah. I wonder, what do you guys think about like if somebody were to draw or emulate existing characters or franchises? Because my like somewhat of my instinct is that there's somewhat of a negative bias against somebody like emulating existing characters or manga or like copying something. I do think kind of the ideas and potential is more, but maybe for a school, it's not as frowned upon. I think it's more frowned upon when you're like applying to jobs in the industry. I don't know. What's your guys' take on that?
That's a really good question. Short answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
Longer answer is my thought is the same as you. Whereas I feel like there might be a little bit of a bias against it, even at the school level.
Like if it's
what you're really into, I don't know that it's terrible to have a couple examples of that if you like really like doing that stuff, but I would maybe try to have maybe not have a whole portfolio that's just that stuff.
Yeah, I think it stems back to what we were talking about. Like you want to show that you have ideas and potential. So like copying something is more of like a technical skill, I guess. But
I feel like copying can kind of it can be really useful to copy other people to like learn technique and stuff. Almost, but that is more like technique.
Yeah.
And like, your own ideas, I think that's not showcasing that. So, but that's kind of where it goes back to the school. And specifically, if it's more of a technical type school, maybe they would be like, oh, wow, you could really emulate this artist. That's like kind of cool. I don't, it's hard to know. Like, I imagine it's really different based on the school you're applying to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a really good question. Like
I don't know where I land. I guess I would like proceed with caution maybe or make sure it's like you were saying, not the majority of your portfolio.
Yeah, you never I feel like this almost puts too much pressure on, but I would say you don't necessarily ever want to look like the second best version of something, which like if you're doing you know, a well-known character or whatever, yeah, you're, of course, then immediately going to be compared to whatever widely available version of that is. Yeah. So, you know, if you build your own rig that looks like Woody, that's an extreme example. But,
right.
You know, yeah. But I feel like we're all saying the same thing, which is like, it's not a death note yeah, something that's like kind of in the style of something else or kind of an homage or copy of something, but definitely do your own thing as well.
And you know, do like what you love, like, mm-hmm, or do, yeah, like whatever feels right for you, like, and that you enjoy doing, do that. Because I feel like, at least in my experience going to film school, I felt like I lost a bit of myself where I was trying to cater to like what I think people would think was cool, or, you know, like, yeah, and I think you just want to impress other people. Like, so I guess like my advice would be kind of like, try to just do things that you like. And if it is like drawing birds or lizards or whatever, like just kind of lean into that.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
how you guys, I agree, feel
about that. I'm with you. I would say if you find yourself emulating something, almost like, look into why you're doing that. Like, it's, yes, like, okay, oh, I really love the Ice Age movies. I want to do like Sid the Sloth or Manny or whatever. Okay, well, do you really mean you really like that style? Because that means you probably really like the artist Peter Deceve, because he, you know, designed those characters. And maybe you do a character Peter Deceve hasn't done, or that is not in the Ice Age movies, but it can still be an homage to that sort of thing. You know, you can let it inspire you and kind of do your own thing. But, you know, I don't know that there's been a widely available design of his that is an anteater, you know, maybe you do that or something. But so, yeah, it's a fine line. I don't want to, yeah, say like you can't be inspired and want to do things that are in a similar vein, but, you know, try to do your own thing with, yeah, it.
The last thing I'll add is just like, if you feel like you don't have a body of work to submit, there is nothing wrong with taking a class online and like building.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know, if you're in high school, you could take something over the summer, or I just took a class with Peter Hahn. He's an amazing artist, and it was just Wednesdays for a few hours at night. And it went for like 10 weeks or something. And I took it very casually. He has two versions. One is like the more expensive version where he gives you feedback, and there's a less expensive version where you just sit in. So I did the sit in version, and I didn't always do the homework, but I did do a good amount, and I learned a lot. So like, you could totally do something like that, and it's not too crazy expensive, just to like build your portfolio. There's, you know, Bobby Chu runs Schoolism, that runs a lot of art classes online, and
yeah,
and there's so much free content out there on YouTube also. So, you know, maybe you spend a few months on it, but it could be well worth it. And don't let it stop you. If, yeah, you feel like you're not ready, that's fine. You can just keep chipping away at it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I love that you just said, don't let it stop you. One thing I wanted to add was just like, you don't have to be your own limiting factor. If, yeah, you really want to apply to these different schools or whatever, just apply. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, they'll, you can reapply if, yes, it doesn't work out,
exactly,
the first time.
Yes, exactly. If they tell you no, I promise you, schools don't hold grudges. they want you to be able to go there. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're feeling you're not good enough or whatever, you know, it's fine to listen to those feelings and try to get better, but don't let it go into the realm of, oh, I'm totally discouraged, now I'm going to shut myself off. Yeah. Still go for it.
Yeah, it's hard when you're young to like realize how much practice people do and how much time it takes, and to like,
yeah,
we talked about this before, it took me a really long time to unlearn the fixed or growth mindset, where fixed mindset is you think people are just naturally good or bad at things.
Mm.
And the growth mindset is that you realize how good someone is at something is dependent on how much work they put in. And so I encourage you to think about that. And Yeah, don't tell yourself you're not good enough. I'm sure you have lots to offer.
We're sure.
Best of luck, honestly.
Yeah, keep us updated. Yeah. And before we wrap, we would love to thank our new monthly subscribers. We have two. We have Samir and Abhijit. And I apologize if I said your name wrong. But we are so, so grateful for you. Thank you. It really warms our heart whenever we see a new tip come in. And if anyone's curious, you can find the tip jar link on our website, on the show notes, and start a monthly subscription there. But yeah, thank you guys.
Thank you.
And is that?
I think that about does it, yeah, right? That was our tip jar. So yeah.
General social media plug.
Oh yeah.
What do you guys want to do it, or do you want me to?
Oh man,
Katie is always so good at
yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna say, guys, follow us on Instagram,
yeah.
Animation at OR, and check out our website. We have a lot of resources.
Yep.
Actually, I remember a while ago we did so much research on those resources. It's like I feel like it was mostly you, Katie. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I borrowed a lot from Natalie Nurgit too. Shout out.
It's just like we have so much stuff. Maybe it's a little outdated now, but I don't know. Check it out. We have an email, animationhappyhour@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah, we still have our t-shirt website. I think Threadless is
our website. Yeah.
You can get our logo printed on a t-shirt, tote bag, whatever you want. I think when someone buys a t-shirt, we make like $2 or something. But hey,
that's something. Yeah.
We appreciate the support.
And I think that about wraps it up. This has been Garrett,
Ben,
and Katie.
Thanks for listening, and happy animating!